Say it again.
Okay. Two Rambans on Bechira Chavshis and the hardening of Paro's heart. And that's the last the Ramban's going to mention of it, but I want to spend a few minutes talking about it because it's so significant. Beginning of the Parsha. The Ramban generally is bothered by how come sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe that he's hardening Paro's heart, and sometimes he just does it, but he doesn't say. We already know the plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him many times, I'm going to harden Paro's heart. So why sometimes do we have to be reminded of that and sometimes not? So beginning of the parasha, Vayomer Paro livnei Yisrael nevuchim heim baret. Now we've already left. 10 makos are finished. They let us go. Baruch mechaya mesim. Okay. They've already let us go. And now all of a sudden, Paro says, Vayomer Paro livnei Yisrael nevuchim heim baret sagar alehim hamidbar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe that Paro is going to say they're lost in the Midbar, and then v'chizakti aslei Paro v'radaf achareihem v'i kavada b'faro v'chol chelov yadu mitzram kini Hashem v'yasu kein. But don't worry, I'm going to harden Paro's heart again. Paro's going to chase you. So first of all, because it's in the background of all this, we're so used to knowing that we won after the Eser Makos. Does anybody, when they read the Pesukim, does anybody believe that Paro thought we were going to come back after 3 days? Like at this point in the story, right? Remember, the deal was all along, this kind of fake negotiation was just let us go. Well, how many going to go? Just the men, just the women, the cattle. We have to worship God. Does anybody take seriously the possibility that Paro really thought we were going to return?
Yeah, really.
Very seriously.
He only does anything once he sees they came back.
Okay, so you think that supports the idea, no, that they kind of were wandering around lost. Is that what you mean?
Yeah,
they can't find a way back. So Paro's going to have to bring them back.
Okay,
they don't know where to go.
Well, that's a possibility. But look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, V'chizaki eslei Paro v'rodaf achareihem ba'avur shepochad Paro mehem b'makat ha-bechorot. Paro was genuinely frightened of them during Makas Bechoros. He wasn't kidding around. It wasn't a game. Paro wanted them to leave. Ubikesh mehem uveirachtem gamoti. And Paro said, please, when you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let him bless me as well. The Ramban says definitively, sorry, Rabbi Liebtag, lo hayab b'libo lirdof acharehem afilu im yivruchu. Okay? The Ramban says, Paro never thought he was going to chase after them again. When he let them go for good. Okay, I'm not saying that there's no other reading, but the Ramban is definitive in his reading. Ela sheya'asem Moshe bohem kirutzono. Moshe could do whatever he wanted with the Jews. They were all his. Va'alkenu tzrach lomar ki hu yichazek esibol lidof acharehem. Therefore, the Ramban asks himself, it's hard to know if he's reverse engineering or that's how he read the Pesukim to begin with. The Ramban's saying, why dafka here does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell Moshe that I'm going to be mechazek eslev paro? The Ramban's answer is, because here it really was supernatural. Paro, after Makas Bechoros, really had no intention whatsoever of chasing after the Jewish people. They were gone forever. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who forced him to chase. End of the third line. Ulamata amar pa macheret yinim mechazek ad lev paro v'yavor achareihem. That's at Yam Suf. We'll see that in a second. Why? Ki bir osam shenikra hayam lifnei b'nei Yisrael v'heim holchim b'yabasha b'socho. This is a great understatement by the Ramban. The Ramban says, they're at Yam Suf, okay? After 10 Makos, the sea now splits. The Jews are going through the sea. The Ramban says, did Paro seriously at this point question the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was rooting for one team and not the other? Right? I mean, who would then go into the sea? So he says, Ve'ein b'kol ha-moftim kipela hazeh. The splitting of the Red Sea was bigger than any of the Makos. V'zeh be'emet shiga'on lahem. It's a wonder. Aval sachal atzatam v'chizek et libam likanes bayam. So Ramban basically says, any time at this point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell you that he's mechazek eslev paro, it's because it was really like a supernatural chizuk, because no rational person would have done this. And in fact, Paro, had he had his own free will... Okay, but now let's see if that's really true. Let's look at the next one. Now we're at Yam Suf. The pasuk says, "Vayet Moshe es yado al hayam," right? Moshe, you know, picks up his hand. Vayolech Hashem es hayam bruach kadim azok kol alayla vayasem es hayam lecharava vayibaku hamayim. What happens?
splits the sea.
No, he splits the sea, yes. What happens?
God causes an easterly wind.
Correct. Here you have a description of how the miracle takes place in a way that's a little unusual. Right? It's like if you ask anybody, how did God split the sea? The answer is, he brought a mighty easterly wind, you know, that blew the middle down the sea, like in Bruce Almighty, for example. He splits the soup by blowing really, really hard.
Right. Similar.
It's exactly the same thing. Okay?
Maybe that's
except,
what we're going for.
Except it's a little harder. It's a little harder to do with an ocean. Okay?
It says call Halila. Like a whole night's worth.
Apparently. But the Ramban is, what's bothering Ramban a little bit is why all of a sudden here do we have a description? We don't know how Kadosh Baruch Hu turned the Nile to blood. We don't know how he brought the frogs. It does say that they blew in, but that's just how they showed up. Okay? It's an exception to how the Torah usually describes these things. So look at the Ramban. Vayet Moshe Sedar Alayom Vayelach Hashem Esayom Baruch Kadim. Listen to this. Hayah haratzon lefanav yitbarach levakea hayam baruach kadim miyabeshet. God specifically wanted to split the sea with an easterly wind. Why? Sheyireh ki ilu haruach hi hamecharevet yam. So that it would appear that it's the wind. It would appear what? That it's a natural phenomenon. Meaning, okay, it's highly unusual, obviously. But it's a natural phenomenon. The way the sea split was because the wind blew.
They proved that it's possible for it to happen.
I believe that that's true.
It happened.
I already told you when it happened. In the movie Bruce Almighty.
That was a documentary. Man's real life.
That's what happened. Kinyan shekatuv yavo kadim ruach Hashem v'yevosh mikarov v'yecharev mayano hiski l'mitzrayim v'yabdeim. Ki ba'avur zeh chashvu ulai haruach sam hayam lecharava. Because the Egyptians thought, maybe it's the wind that's doing it. V'lo yad Hashem asta zot ba'avur Yisrael. And it's not God acting on behalf of the Jews. Af al pi she'en haruach bokat hayam ligzarim, lo samu libam gam lazot. Obviously, it doesn't happen that the wind splits the sea. Nevertheless, they didn't focus on that. Ubo'u acharem meyov ta'avatam lahara lahem. And because of their overwhelming desire to chase after the Jews and hurt them, they went into the sea. V'zet tam, now listen to this. This is the key line. Everybody pay attention. V'zet tam, v'chizakti et leif paro v'yavor acharehem. What does it mean that God strengthened Paro's heart? Shechizek libam leimor erdof oivai v'asigein bayam v'ein miyadi matzil v'lo zachru ata ki Hashem nilcham lohem b'mitzrayim. Here's what happened. Normally we think about, listen to this, part. Normally we think, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away Paro's free will, that he had no ability to make decisions on his own? But what I think the Ramban is hinting at, and I heard this idea from Rav Meidan, okay? What I think the Ramban is hinting at is as follows.
Can you not do that?
That normally we think that God takes away Paro's free will, but think about it this way. After 10 makos, I'll give a different example. Have I ever used this before? It's my favorite example. You're sitting in your dorm room, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to you. However it is that you know that it's God Almighty, it is. And he tells you that from now on, you're going to have your tefillin on before minyan every morning. And just to emphasize how serious he is about this, he takes your arms away. Okay, now you have no doubt, you now have no arms. You know, he gives them back to you at the end. But he takes them away from you in a way that leaves no doubt that God could punish you supernaturally if you disappoint him. Now, any chance you're not going to be a minion at 5 to 7 tomorrow morning, God appears to you and he tells you you'll be there. And he takes your arms, he makes it rain in your room, he does everything. You're terrified. Any chance you're not going to be there? You're not answering me honestly. There's zero chance. I was hoping you would be like serious for a second. There's zero chance that you're not going to be there. That's a loss. That well, I'm saying that's a loss of bechira chavshah. We don't normally think about it that way, but that's God taking away your free will. Because if God appears to you, you have no choice but to obey Him.
But
Now, what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Paro to Yamsuf. after 10 plagues. Now he splits the sea. What kind of moron goes, oh, it's just a coincidence. The wind is blowing, right? So the Ramban says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Paro super free will. He didn't take away his free will. He allowed him to misinterpret events that any rational person, after 10 makos in Mitzrayim, any one of us, and you don't have to be geniuses, any one of us, if you went to Yam Suf, I say definitively, I would not have chased the Jews into the sea. After 10 makos, I don't care that the wind was blowing all night long. There's no way I'm chasing them into the sea. But the Ramban says, that's Vayichazek Hashem Eslev Paro. He gave him the ability to ignore events that normally, to us, would force us to do something. And I think there's a much bigger point here. I think this is the difference between like emuna and yediyah, like knowledge of God and belief in God. I think that at some point Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get any schar for believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know why? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't believe. He knew. He knew as a fact. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him in a way that left no doubt. So that's not a question of belief. We always think to ourselves, and it's true, I think to myself, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu just revealed himself once, if he just did one nes nigla, you know, then everything would be so easy. But you forget the downside. Once he does that, you have no choice. Once he does that, you have to listen to him, you have to obey, and in some sense, a nes nigla takes away your free will. And this is a theme in the Ramban. The Ramban says basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, why doesn't he do, the Ramban asks in last week's parasha, I meant to do this Ramban, but we didn't have time last week. The Ramban asks last week's parasha, why doesn't God make miracles in every generation? Wouldn't it be easier for us? The answer, it would be easier for us, but maybe it would be too easy. Right? So therefore, he makes hidden miracles, and we have a mitzvah from generation to generation to tell our children about the nes niglos that he did in Mitzrayim. Yeah.
But even still, like the Dora Midbar, like they had Karsinai, they were one of the worst generations, and every single generation, like during the time of the Nevi'im, had these, and they were rampant in Avodah Zarah.
It's an excellent question. It on some level it undermines what I'm trying to say, but on another level it doesn't. Because the second part of this idea is that once you have a tangible representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and hopefully we'll see this Ramban when we get to the Egel, it's not enough for him to be hidden from you anymore, right? What's a good parallel? It's like once you get a certain high in your life, okay, I've never done this, but let's say you're a drug addict, okay? It's not hard for anybody at this table to go through a day without doing drugs, because we don't know what the high feels like. Once you have that high, you desire to recreate it. There's a need that has to be filled. Once you've seen my understanding, and this is the Ramban theme, once you've met HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once you've had a Gilui Shechina, it's hard for you to just go back to your sitter and, you know, the belief that God is out there, because you've seen him. It's like once you've met her, you need to meet her again. Right? It's not, okay, I saw her once. Wow, it was fantastic. Hopefully if I ever meet her again, you know, we'll get married. No, like once it happens to you and you're completely smitten and you're overwhelmed by this emotion, you need to do it again. You need to see it again. And I think that that's the Ramban's idea about Avodah Zarah. I think that's why there's so much Avodah Zarah in Bayis Rishon and no Avodah Zarah in Bayis Sheni. Because if you went to Bayis Rishon, there was Gilui Shechina all over the place. And so, you know, to just transfer that Gilui Shechina to something else, to us, seems horrible. But I think to them, wasn't really Avodah Zarah. It was just a transference of, we have such an overwhelming desire to be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. So, okay, you know, it's true that this is a golden calf and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, we're really doing it L'Shem Shamayim. I know that sounds crazy, but I think that that's the answer. Okay, let's just knock off one more, then we'll stop. Back to the story of Kriyas Yam Suf, and here I think the Ramban is going to point out something else to us that normally when we read Psukim, we're not in tune with. We're terrified. And obviously we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's a weird cry. What do we say? Were there not enough graves in Mitzrayim? Why'd you ever take us out? This is what we told you already in Mitzrayim. Chadal mimenu v'navdos Mitzrayim, leave us alone, we'll be slaves. Kitov lanu avores Mitzrayim mimuseinu b'amidbar, we'd rather stay in Egypt. The Ramban is bothered by something that should bother all of us, which is they're terrified. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem. Now this is where you expect the next pasuk to be like Mimah Makim Krasicha Hashem, some beautiful tefillah. Instead, what do you get? Like this horrible whining. It doesn't even sound like a tefillah, right? They're just blaming Moshe and they're blaming HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Ramban says Vayomru and the bottom El Moshe v'blein k'vom b'mitzrayim second line. Einenu nireki bnei Adam hatzohakim al Hashem lahushiyam yivatu biyishua she'asa lahem v'yomru ki tov lahem shelo hitzilam. Ramban says it doesn't make sense that they're crying out to God, they want God's help, and then they insult him, and then they say, we told you you should never have taken us out. That's not the best way to get somebody's favor, by insulting him for something good he did for you. So now the Ramban says, and here I think this is a big yisod, we normally think when there's a story in the Torah, that it means everybody. Right? When I read this, it says, B'nai Yisrael cried out. I understand this to mean all the Jews cried out. The Ramban says we're wrong. Third line. Aval ha-nachon, she-nifaresh ki-ayu kitot. The Ramban says that he thinks the correct interpretation is there were different groups of Jews, like we have nowadays. V'ha-katuv yisaper kol ma-she asu kulam. And it's telling us what all of them did, namely, Omar. Ki Hakat ha'achat soeket el Hashem. One group was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ha'achat and another group makcheshet b'nivio ve'eino modeh b'yishua ha'naseit lahem. Another group really was angry at God and really rejected the goodness that he did and rejected Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'yomru ki tov lam shelo itzilam. So in order for the Ramban to make sense of these psukim, he basically presents it, and he has better proofs later on, which we're not going to get a chance to read inside, to show you the different groups. One group davened to Hashem, they really believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One group really did reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu and really did reject Moshe. Okay. Bottom line. Va'alzot katuv va'yamru al yamsuf al yam bi yamsuf u'lekach flip over yachzira katuv b'nei Yisrael pa'machet va'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem. Ramban says it mentions the Jews twice. Ki atovim bahem tzaku al Hashem. Okay? So the Ramban, and he has a proof that when it says Ha'am, that means everybody. When it says B'nai Yisrael, that means different groups. Now, the Ramban is bothered by something else. This is the last point that we make. If the Egyptians were chasing me with chariots and an army, what would my point be? That I don't want to die in a war. I don't want to be massacred. They seem to be focused on the fact that there's like some difficulty with being in the Midbar. It wasn't some amorphous problem in the Midbar that we might run out of water, or we might run out of food. The Egyptian army was chasing them and was about to slaughter them. So the Ramban in the second paragraph on the next page says, V'hine lo amru, this I think is a fantastic insight. V'hine lo amru lekachtanu lamut b'milchama. They didn't complain that they're going to get wiped out in a war. Aval lekachtanu lamut b'midbar. Umimutenu b'midbar. They keep talking about dying in the desert. Why? Ki terem yiru milchama lo hayu chafetim latzeit el hamidbar pen yamutu sham bara'avu v'atzama. Here's the key point. The Ramban says, and this is something that we should think about more often, B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim with misharotam tzurot al shikhmam. Whatever the food they had, they took with them. If you can imagine, you know, let's say conservatively, 2 million people just going into the desert, it seems like a really, really bad idea. And the Ramban says, basically, it works for good and for bad. The Ramban says there were a group of people that already in Mitzrayim were saying to Moshe, this is a really stupid idea. We're going to die of starvation. All you're doing is taking us out of slavery. It's true, but you're taking us someplace where there's no means of support, and we're going to die. So the Ramban says, that's why they kept referencing Mutenu Bamidbar, because this is the point they've been making all along. This also leads to a much more positive point that you find in the Nevi'im, that God loves us, Lechtecha Acharei Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zerah, that it took a lot of emunah for the Jews to leave Mitzrayim with no food and no provisions and no water. And so apparently, if you want to just extrapolate from the Ramban said at the beginning here, there were different groups. There was the group that the Nevi'im praised to the heavens, who believed in Moshe Rabbeinu to the point that they're willing and happy to just go out into the Midbar with the belief that God would support them. And unfortunately, you had another group who already in Mitzrayim were complaining that this was a suicidal idea to go into the Midbar. And as Paro was attacking them, they weren't so afraid of Paro as much as they were just saying, isn't this what we said? Bad things will happen in the Midbar. This was no point. But the most significant point of the Ramban is when we read Psukim, again, all of us, I think, because we have no choice and it makes sense, we read it as being everybody. When someone, when they do it, when they complain, it's everybody. And the Ramban says, don't be so quick to think so. Sometimes it's just a large group. The Torah sometimes refers to Bnei Yisrael, even though it's not supposed to mean all of Klal Yisrael. Okay? Shkach, see you Thursday. By the way, today Rav Khan can't give his chug.